who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, September the 1st, 2017. Deborah Vales is the speaker of this service, teaching on Flesh versus Spirit.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's an honor to be here and to share the word of the Lord with you this afternoon. Amen.
Amen.
I'm excited about what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Before I begin, I do want to pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for your people, Father God, and I just ask as we go into your word, Father, that you would bless, oh Lord God. We just come to you now, and we thank you, Lord God, that your word declares that every knee will bow, and things in heaven and earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And Jesus, we thank you that you're Lord right now. So we thank you, Father God, for that. We thank you, Lord, that we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and that no weapon that's formed against us will prosper. And every tongue that will rise up, Father God, your word declares that you will condemn it in the judgment. So we thank you now for the very armor of God, Father, that you have provided for us. We thank you for the belt of truth. We thank you for the breastplate of righteousness, oh God. We thank you for the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace on today. And Lord God, we thank you that you constructed this armor for us to wear it, Father God, for both a defensive and offensive mechanism. So now, God, we thank you that as you arm us up, God, that we will do a good warfare. We will war, we will endure, Father God, because your word declares, hallelujah, that no weapons that formed against us will prosper. And not only that, Father God, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers, wicked spirits of this world, Father God. But we thank you, Father God, that as you give us to pray in the Spirit, we're built up in you. So build us up, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So we bind every opposing spirit right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that we have open access to the Spirit of God. We thank you for liberty. We thank you for the power of God that's going forth now. Now, Lord, we thank you, God, that our ears are open and attentive to you. Now, you have your way in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, this afternoon, what I want to talk about is flesh versus spirit. We're in a war, but we already win because Jesus gives us to triumph in him. So realizing that, the Bible says that we are in a war, but enduring soldiers, we are to, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we're to endure. The Bible says that if we endure to the end, we'll be saved, okay? So, knowing this, that there is a constant war between the flesh and the spirit, how do we conquer? We conquer through Jesus. Okay, that's what we want to talk about today. The flesh represents the lower nature, the very presence of the lower nature, which is carnality, every man, woman, boy, and girl must deal with because of sin. Now, Jesus died for us that we may have a right to the tree of life. So sin does not have to reign in our lives. There's a choice that we make every day to live right or live wrong. I understand demonic activity. And yes, demons play role in the earth just by nature of sin, because of a sin being in the world. However, we as people of God, men and women of God, boys and girls, we do have choices that we make. And so everything is not a demon. Some things we choose to do.
That's right.
All right? There's some activity we choose that's not of God. And you can't attach it to a demon when you've made the choice to do wrong. If a boy goes into a store and makes up their mind that they're going to steal, yeah, the enemy can put that in your head, but at the end of the day, you have a choice. And we have a choice. The Bible says, choose you this day who you will serve. All right? So we do have a right to choose. We can choose life or we can choose death. Now, we know that the enemy is in the world. We're not here to uplift him. I'm here to uplift Jesus. Just give you some points today and to just let you know that you can overcome because Jesus already did it for us. But the Word of God is plain as to how we can do that. So that's what I want to talk about today. All right? So after a person is born again, the flesh continues to be an enemy of God. All right? The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 8 about flesh and how the flesh cannot please God. And when the Lord began to deal with me on this a few months back, the reality of carnality and how the Lord nature will keep us from our potential, I began to ask the Lord to help me to walk more in the Spirit. And we have a choice. You can choose to walk in the Spirit or you can choose to walk in the flesh. It's your choice. And guess what? God will not force you to do that. He doesn't force us. Brother Nikki, he doesn't force us, but yet the word is clear. So we can be free. And as we are free, and as the Spirit of God frees us, God wants us to maintain that liberty and walk in it every single day. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to read, this is not the main scripture I'm going to come from. I'm going to really break out Galatians 5. But I do want to read Romans chapter 1 verses, Romans chapter 8 verses 1 through 9. And then I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. And then I'm going to go a little bit further. Okay? Well, we must learn to walk in the Spirit in order to please God. And I don't know about you, but it's my desire to please the Lord. All right. The purpose of this teaching is to prepare us to live a life free from sin, bondage, and addiction to flesh. In learning this, we will reap the benefits of living pure lives before the Lord. And as we see God move in us and through us, in order that His perfect will may be done in the earth. And I do believe that God has a divine plan and a divine purpose for the body of Christ, and that is that we be effective in the kingdom of God, and that His will is done in the earth. We're agents right here in the earth, and God has a purpose for every one of us here in the earth. And so when we understand that, and we understand that God has given us everything that we really need that pertains to life and godliness, but again, we have to lay claim to it, and we must walk in it. And it's a daily walk, but we can do it in victory in Jesus. Okay? So Romans 8, beginning at verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The word flesh basically means human nature. All right. It has nothing to do with my skin, what you see. It has to do with the nature, the lower nature. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But again, Jesus died that we may have a right to the tree of life. So we can live the God kind of life in the Lord. Okay. Now, I'm going to drop down to verse number 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I asked the Lord, really, what does that mean to be carnal? Means to be fleshy. It means to take on the things that the world does. In other words, mind the things of the flesh and act like the world, be like the world. And God doesn't want us to act like the world. He wants us to act like Him. And we can do that when we follow the principles of God and get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. So if I'm acting a way or behaving in a way that God doesn't like, it's going to cause us to go different ways. And I don't know about you, but I want to please God. And we should want to please Him each and every day. All right? How we treat one another, it really counts. It makes a difference. Now, we can say we love everybody, and, you know, I love my sisters, but, you know, our attitudes really will tell us if we really love one another. Okay? How do you speak? If you don't speak, do you speak to your brothers and sisters? You know, we're all children of God. If everyone is saved in here, we're born again. And I believe we're trying to get to heaven, Jerry. I'm not sure. But I think that's the goal. Okay. That is the goal. All right? It's the goal is to make heaven. All right? To have the Lord say one day, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's why we're here. All right? But a lot of times, you know, I meet people all the time that say, I love the Lord. But, you know, they're not fellowshipping, and there's a lot of disgruntlement and discord and division, all of these things. But we're all going to heaven. We're all on the same path. We should be. But what I'm saying, the point I'm trying to make is if you really love the Lord, and if I love God, then the attributes of God should be in my life. The characteristics of Jesus. In other words, am I kind? Am I good? Am I merciful? Do I love everybody? Am I partial? Am I biased? You know, all of these things really will determine if we're going to heaven. It's not just a thing in name, but we must live the Word. We must walk the Word. And the more Word we get in us, the more we crucify flesh and put flesh to death and say, I'm going to live in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to remain in the Spirit. The more the Holy Spirit will take a precedent in our life. All right. So the Bible says to be carnally minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if I'm acting a way that God is not happy, He's not going to be pleased. All right. And we want to please God. I'm not here to please you. I love you. But I'm here to please God. All right? So everything we do, we got to make sure God is pleased with it. And if He's not, He's going to let you know that. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now let me go to verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. I don't owe the flesh anything. Once you recognize that really the enemy is your enemy and he is an intruder in your life, you want to evict him. Once I begin to recognize the things that was holding me back, Patty, from my potential in God, and I really begin to see where the enemy was playing, and a lot of times that's all he's doing, and we have to recognize that God has given us authority. I believe I heard this scripture briefly this morning about Jesus giving us authority over the enemy. Well, the authority is the power, the will that comes from God for us to walk in victory and for the enemy to be under our feet, because that is where he belongs. He does not belong inside of you. The oppressive spirits that come, depression and oppression and illness and all these things that come to torment, come to keep us from our potential. But Jesus has come already and he's defeated the enemy. And so when we see the enemy operating in our life and we get a hold to the Word of God and recognize that it's a trick from him to keep us from our potential, something has to be done. We have to make a choice. No, I'm not going to live that way anymore. No, I am a victor. I'm victorious because God said so. And I'm going to walk in that authority that Jesus has given me. And when you understand God's authority and where the enemy belongs, a lot of this that we're going through will be eliminated, Patty, because I really do believe that God gives us victory, not for us 6 months down the road to be facing the same thing that we faced 6 months prior. I really believe that when I'm delivered from something, I'm set free. Now, the only way the enemy is able to come back is if I open the door and allow him access. And I refuse. So you have to refuse the enemy when you really close the door. Don't open it again. Because if you do, the potential for that thing to come back, along with seven other things, and then more things, the potential is greater. Yeah. Come on, somebody. I think that we need to progress in the Lord now.
Yes.
There is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. But God wants to give us how to triumph in him every day. And I'm finding that the Word of God has the answers that I need. We need more of God's Word. So, what are the works of the flesh? Because this is the flesh versus the spirit. There is a war. Galatians 5, 19 through 23. The Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. That means they're made known. They can be seen. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My God. Thank you, Father. So I'm going to just break out the works of the flesh. All right? Number one is adultery. That sexual relation of a married person with someone other than his or her spouse. Okay? And we know that that's wrong. That's a work of the flesh. Now, there are many people, let me just say this, that are really walking in a lot of these different areas. Anger, it could be hatred, it could be, we mentioned variance, wrath. They're works of the flesh. The Bible is clear that if we're doing these things, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. I just said, we're all trying to get to heaven. We're all trying to, we're striving. We're works in progress. We want to go to heaven. So if any of these areas, as I go through some of these terms, I want to break out some of this, any of the stuff in you, repent. We heard about repentance. If you don't repent and you don't have a lifestyle of repentance, how are you in God? We all must repent every single day. Because I believe that times are things that we may do that we're not aware of. But when we live a life of repentance, that means, God, I don't want to offend you.
Amen.
I want to stay at peace with you, Father. If I said anything wrong, if I looked at my sister wrong, help me, show me. If I have an attitude on the phone, this morning I had to work on my iPad and I left here last night and I was on the phone for 2 hours trying to get this thing straightened out so I had a connection and I got a little perturbed. 2 hours that I should have been resting. That can really kind of aggravate you when you have a schedule and you got things to do. Come on, somebody. And you recognize the enemy is trying to steal your time. So by the time I was finished, Jerry, I was really a little tired. And I had to teach. Lord, how am I going to do this? And I felt myself getting aggravated. Come on now. I said, Lord, now you help me not to get mad with these people on the other end. Help me keep myself right. Come on, somebody. Even on the phone, you can't get out of sorts. I can't get out of joy with someone that's not doing right. Come on. I still have to have an attitude of gratitude, if you will, and love, and be kind, and don't talk sharp, and don't hang up on them. Come on. How many of you have been on the phone and you talk to somebody you know good well, you got upset with that person, hung up the phone, or the computer? Yes. And then you realize your attitude ain't right. And then you have to repent, Father, forgive me because I did wrong. I said wrong. I snapped at that person. And you know, I've done that before, been on the phone with someone and snapped at them. And the Lord said, you better repent right now. Tell them you're sorry. Because I don't want that thing standing up before me and God. So our attitude has to be right, okay? All right, I'm getting back to the works of the flesh. Fornication is immoral sexual conduct, okay? Some of this I won't go into real deep because I don't want to offend anybody. Adultery is married people having relationships that's wrong. Fornication is single people, okay? Uncleanness, impure, physically and morally, okay? Evil deeds. To include vices, evil thoughts, and desires of the heart. Okay, according to Ephesians 5 and 3 and Colossians 3 and 5. To be unclean means to be defiled, to be foul and unfit. Okay, it also refers to food. It could be a glutton spirit. All kinds of things can make us impure. Okay. The Old Testament distinguishes between what is clean and helpful and what is unclean and unacceptable, according to Leviticus 10 and 10. So freedom from uncleanness and guilt is possible through the gracious work of Jesus, according to Psalms 51 and 7. It says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. So holiness within is purity of heart is possible through the exercise of faith in Christ's redemption and obedience to his word. One of the things I'm finding is that we must be obedient to God. We must adhere to his commands. And when we do that, even our health, the Bible says, will spring forth. Now, it is God's will that the people of God walk in divine health and healing. I believe it with all of my heart. And so when there is sickness, one of the things, I just use myself as an example. When sickness comes to my body, I ask God, what's going on? Is there something I've done wrong? Is there sin somewhere? Father, because you don't have no sickness, so what's going on? What is it? Is it an attack? Is it something I need to pray about? You know, ask God, because he will let you know exactly what's going on. I don't believe God wants anything foreign in our body, whether it's cancer, whether it's high blood pressure, low blood pressure, sugar diabetes, all of these things come to bring the body down. And Jesus wants us to live in health and wholeness. So look at these things and just ask God simply, and He will give an answer. I believe that. So we've been called to live a holy life, a clean life before the Lord. We're not to yield our members to uncleanness, but to righteousness and holiness, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. All right, lasciviousness is sensuality. That means to follow one's passions and desires to the point of having no shame or public decency. Okay? In other words, it's just with no restraint. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, and also Mark chapter 7, verse 22. Okay? Another work of the flesh is idolatry. Okay? We're not to make idols out of people or things. Okay? It's to worship. In other words, some people, you know, they put other things before God. Graven images. People. Ministries. You can even put your ministry before God. You got to be careful to keep order. I have to be careful to keep order in my life, that I don't want to make a God of anything that I'm doing, because God is God and no one should be worshipped but God. Okay? Witchcraft is sorcery, black magic, worship of demons, but it's also control, manipulation, and domination. Okay? Means to take over a person's will so that they will do as that one person would desire. It's demonic. So we're not to control people, right? Nor are we to control situations or dominate. Okay? You know, there are people that pray prayers and they think that they're godly prayers, but the witchcraft prayers, because you got to be careful. You're not praying to turn a thing your way. You have to be careful. Pray the word. Pray God's word. Even if it's situations you don't understand, get the mind of God on it. Pray the word of God. Be careful how you pray, because you don't want to pray a witchcraft prayer. Okay. All right. Hatred. And this is intense, hostile intentions and acts. Extreme dislike or enmity. Okay. And there is a lot of hatred among the body. There's a lot of division among the body of Christ. And it's grieving to see how we as Christians, we just can't seem to get along. And I could give so many examples of that, but we're not here to point fingers. We really want to see God's love displayed, because there's a lot of discord and there's a lot of division and there's a lot of hatred among the body of Christ. And it's grieving. I travel in a lot of different circles, and it's just because of how God has me flow. And, you know, I'm here, and a couple weeks ago I was in another state. I won't say where I was, but I was at a convention, a conference, and the Lord really moved mightily. And it's my prayer that I see more of deliverance ministers coming together. There's a lot of ministers. Yeah, there's some that's flakes and flukes and all this stuff here. But if we got the word of God, why can't we dwell with one another in unity? The Bible says that it's a blessing for brethren to come together in unity. But there's a lot of disunity in the body, and it is grieving. But we got to come together. Now, it's a work of the flesh, because we all have our own ideas of things and how we think things should be. But you know, God knows how to bring the people of God together. And I do believe that in this hour, with all the things that's going on in the world, the Christians need to stand up. We need to stand up. We have a president that's under fire. We have a government that's in chaos. We have a world that's upside down. And where is the church? Where are we? Are we really being counted today? So it behooves us to take a look at these things. Father, am I really pleasing you? Am I walking the way you want? Am I loving my brothers and sisters properly? Because that's what it's all about. Okay, I'm not talking about compromising with sin and all of this stuff. When there's blatant sin, you're going to know it. And we're not to have any, we're not to keep company with that. We got to live right. We got to live holy. Amen. But we also got to live the God kind of life. And that's in love. Where was I at? Hatred, variance, quarreling. Okay, that means people that struggle for a position of superiority. Okay, Romans 1 and 29 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 11 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. All right, emulation, that means to be resentful. Resentment that can turn into bitterness and also cause illness. And when we have resentment, bitterness, hatred, anger, unforgiveness, all these things can turn on the body. So we have to be careful that we keep our hearts clean. You know, when things happen to you, people don't do you right, don't let that thing affect you in a negative way. Be quick to release, be quick to forgive, be quick to give it over to God and let God handle it. Because He knows what to do and He knows how. Romans 13 and 13 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. Okay, that was emulations. The next one is wrath. That's explosive anger or rage which flares into violent words or deeds. And I often hear Jerry say that we should not let our anger go down, you know, not let the sun go down on our wrath. In other words, you get angry, okay, but don't keep it. You got about, 3:30? Okay, if I get angry right now, I got maybe about 2 hours. And that's the end of it. Don't let the sun go down on that anger.
That's right.
And Jerry, I appreciate that because really, you don't have to be angry. Overnight, the peace of God will keep you. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when you have anger like that and you let it fester, like I heard somebody give an example about a child, I believe, that is not able. It was a teaching I heard, and where a child comes home and has a bad day, but they don't have anybody to talk to, so what happens is that child will stuff that and keep going, and you look at the little child, you think the child's fine, but not knowing what the child has gone through, before you know it, the child's very angry and explosive and acting out, and you don't know why. You haven't found out what's going on. So, you know, parents need to really take care of the children and watch them every day, because you never know from day to day what's going on. My grandson told me yesterday that his little fella is bothering him in school, and it's really bothering him. And I said, I'm going to go to the school and talk to them. Not going to let it go. Don't let things go, because the enemy will take something like that and turn it from a little molehill into a mountain. So we have to make sure that we keep accounts clear. Don't go to bed mad with anybody. I don't care who it is. You know, again, someone could call you and tell you off. Don't go to bed mad about it. If you have to pray it through, that's an old term. Years ago, when they said pray through, you prayed until you got finished. If you get down on your knees and you didn't get up until you knew it was done and you had peace. And to keep the peace in your life, that's what we have to do. Okay, that'll keep you free too. Being able to share with God how you feel about a situation. And if it takes 3 hours to do it, then do it. I'd rather take 3 hours telling God how I feel than to have a whole bunch of junk down in me that I can't get out. I'd rather be able to tell God, and you know, I talk to God like that all day long. And when you're a minister, you out-ministering all the time, you're going to get all kind of friendly fire, all kind of opposition, all kind of stuff's going to come at you day to day. Sometimes it's day to day. Sometimes I get a break. And when I get a break, oh my goodness, Brother Randy, I rejoice. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for keeping me today. Thank you. I didn't have no friendly fire today. Praise the Lord. Just give me some more of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Let me pray in the Spirit a little bit more because tomorrow I might need that. Come on. Hallelujah. But God will help you. So learn to give over to God day by day, minute by minute, second by second. Deliverance comes as you do that. Okay. It helps. All right. Where am I at? Wrath. So we don't want anger to fester in our lives, okay? We must not allow anger to remain in our lives, okay? Be quick to forgive, quick to let go. Strife, selfish ambition, and seeking power. And I want to just give you a quick definition of ambition, all right? Ambition is a desire for rank or power. It is rooted in the Luciferian spirit, and if it's left unchecked, this spirit will open the door for the curse of prokairos, in other words, getting ahead of God. You know, a lot of times we know things are to happen in our lives, but if we get ahead of God, we jump too soon, we could really get in trouble. Okay, so you don't want to get out of the timing of God. You want to walk in His timing. David was a man that God called and anointed as king when he was young. But he did not take that kingship at that time. He had to go through a process. So even when he saw that Saul was not anointed and he was the armor bearer, he was the one that would play. You know, he didn't take it upon himself. You know what? I'm going to do what I can to move him out of there. Because after all, I have been anointed. He didn't do that. He waited. And he served. And at the right time, then God elevated him to the position that he had been anointed for. Even though the anointing had lifted off of Saul, David recognized that he was still the king, and even when the enemy used Saul to come after him, he did not strike back. Now, how many of us can do that? It takes a lot not to strike when someone strikes you. It takes a whole lot not to fight back when you know that you haven't done anything wrong, and David didn't do anything wrong to Saul. All he did was go out to war, and the anointing caused him to be victorious. And Saul got jealous and said, I'm going to take him out. He think he's going to take my job. All of that. Well, he didn't really have it, but yet he was there. And the man of God honored him, even though he actually, the anointing had lifted. But David said, I'm not going to touch him. I'm not the one to take him out. I'm going to let God handle it. And that's a lesson for each of us, that when the enemy comes at us, don't strike back. Let God fight your battle, because He knows how to do it. Hallelujah. Don't be ambitious. Just wait on God. The doors that need to open will open, and those doors that don't need to open, they close, leave them closed. Don't try to turn a key and open something that God doesn't want you into, because it could get you into trouble. Now, I don't go a lot of places. I don't hang around a whole lot of people. There's a whole lot of services, all kind of stuff going on. But that don't mean I have to be involved. You understand? I only go where God needs me. If you don't need me, I ain't going. Okay, how good it is. Because everything good may not be good for me. So I'm going to stay in my lane. I think it's better to stay in my own lane. Praise the Lord. Okay. And heresies. Sedition. Introducing divisive teachings not supported by the Word of God. And one of the things I was taught at a young age If it's not in the Bible, leave it alone. If I can't support it in Scripture, I ain't saying it. I posed a question in our deliverance class the other day. I won't go there, but I gave an illustration as an example. You know, we deal with deliverance here. And, I'll just share a little bit of it. I ask that, you know, a lot of people feel that it's okay to have conversations with demons. I don't think so. Personally, I believe Jesus, he cast them out. And what little bit of talking he did, it wasn't very much. He spoke with authority. So my whole point in saying this is if it's not in the Word of God, you don't have anything to stand on. And so if someone gives me something that says something, brother, and they can't prove it in the Word, I'm going to leave it right where it is. Because we're to stand on the Word of God. So try to be careful to preach the Word. I'm not here to give you my opinion. I'm here to give you the Word of God. So all that I'm telling you right now, you can find it right in God's Word. And that's what we need to stand on, His Word. So if it's not in there, leave it alone. Don't fight the people, just leave it alone. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 16 and 17, okay? So be careful to stay in the Word of God, right? Heresies, division within the congregation into selfish groups, cliques, which destroy the unity of the church. There are a lot of cliques and fellowships and churches and groups, and we're not to be in cliques. Okay, be careful of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. Envies, that's resentful dislike of another person who has something that someone else may desire. That's envy. Okay? Murder, killing a person unlawfully with malice. Now, you can cause deadly harm to a person by the words you speak, such as gossip and backbiting, tale-bearing, scandalous words and false accusation. This can bring or cause death to a person. So we have to be careful of our speech, right? Drunkenness, that is really to be impaired mentally or physically or under the control of an alcoholic drink. And there are a lot of Christians that believe that you can drink. I don't believe it. Okay. Revelings, excessive feastings, revelry, a party spirit, to include alcohol and living immoral life. All right? Those were the works of the flesh. Now I'm going to move on to the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit produces life-changing results in our life. Okay? They are contrasted to the works of the flesh. Okay? Number one, love. A caring and seeking for the highest good of another person without motive for personal gain. Okay, so if you really love someone, you're not out for what you can get. The God kind of love is kind, is sincere, is pure, has pure motives, doesn't act unseemly, is not out for selfish gain. It's godly. It's agape. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13 talks about the God kind of love. Right? Also, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Ephesians 5 and 2. And Colossians 3 and 14. Joy. This is a feeling of gladness based on love, grace, blessings, promises and nearness of God that belong to those who believe in Christ. Jesus gives us joy no matter what we may have to endure. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is our strength. And so when we have God's joy, we'll have strength. You know, strength to endure, strength to bear long, okay? God's joy. And then there's peace. And I want to say a little bit about peace. It's a quietness. It's a harmony and order. It's security in the midst of turmoil, trouble, tragedy. I just lost a relative, and I can tell you that When we got the news, there was a peace that came over me that was just, I still, when I think about it, I'm in awe. You know, because when you lose someone, you don't really think of having peace. But the Bible says that He will give us peace that passes our understanding, and it will keep our heart and our mind in Christ. The closer we get to Jesus, the more peace we'll have to get us through situations that we may have to endure, obstacles that we may have to overcome, oppositions that will come. So it's important and vital, beloved, that we stay in the presence of the Lord and that we, you know, make sure that we're spending time with God every day, reading the Word every day, studying to know Him more, and just get a friendly, a close relationship with the Lord. All right? Because all of these things, love, joy, peace, all of this is found in God, and God wants us to walk in this. Long suffering. It's patient endurance to bear long with the frailties, offenses, injuries, and provocations, others without murmuring, without complaining, or resentment. Okay? Long suffering. Number one, Jesus bears long with us. Sometimes we have to bear long with others. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I'm sorry I don't have time to read all these scriptures, but I pray if you write them down that you can go back to them later. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. And then gentleness. This is a disposition to be gentle and soft-spoken, kind and even-tempered, cultured and refined in character and conduct. Okay? So that no matter what goes on, you're kind, you're gentle, okay? You don't act crazy. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. In Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And the next one is goodness. This is a state of being good and kind, virtuous, benevolent. That's having a generous heart to give. God, to be godlike in life and conduct. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 48. Faith. It's inward, wholehearted confidence and assurance. It's trust and reliance in God and in all that He says. Faith, it also means to believe God without reservation. Right? So the faith that I believe we're to have is confidence and it's assurance that whatever God says, it will happen. Okay? And when we get to know the Word of God, and we walk in the Word of God, and God gives you His Word, you can stand on it. It's a promise that will not fail. God's Word is yes and amen. Okay? And He wants us to know His Word and walk in it. Hallelujah. Meekness, that means to be gentle. Okay? The Bible says in Matthew 5 and 5, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Okay? So to be meek means to be gentle and kind, even tempered or balanced in your temper. Okay? Patient in suffering, injuries, without the feeling of a spirit of revenge. Okay? Now, Psalm 25 and 9, I have a note there. I'm going to read that one. Psalms 25, verse 9. It says, "The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way." So when we're meek and humble, God can teach us, and we all need to make sure we keep a teachable spirit. You know, always stay open. because I believe that we can learn from the smallest child up to the oldest adult. There's no one that we cannot learn from. We just listen and be open to listen and take in more learning from the Lord. Temperance, self-control. Okay, that's basically just to not let your behaviors get out of whack, attitude out of whack. Okay, God wants us to have self-control. Okay, Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1, 2, and 3. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 and 27. So in order to bring forth, we must have our character made by walking in all of the fruit of the Spirit daily. And we must remain in fellowship with God. Okay? So I'm encouraging you today, beloved, to allow the Lord to work in your life. And everything that is not like God, dump it. Get rid of it. Okay? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Okay, before I pray, I want to give a word the Lord gave me earlier. So let me just give you this word the Lord gave. The Lord says, I am with you. I will strengthen and comfort you. My power is real. My touch on your life is real. Know that I am watching over my word to see that my will is accomplished in your life. I am fighting on your behalf. I send my word so that my will may be done in your life. Even though there will be those who will not believe my word, those who will adhere to my voice will know that I will continue to prove myself faithful. The Lord says, continue to press forward. And as you do this, you will experience my love and my manifested presence will be with you. Put your complete confidence in me, for I will be with you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to end with a prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that you give us how to walk in your spirit. We thank you, Father God, that as we yield to your spirit, the dictates and appetites of the flesh can be put down because you tell us to mortify, to put to death dictates of the flesh. So we thank you now for your word. We renounce any activity that's rooted in witchcraft, idolatry, paganism, rebellion, and rejection in the name of Jesus. We believe, Lord, that you've called us to a holy life. We thank you, God, that you separated us unto yourself. We thank you, Father, that we're a royal priesthood. Oh God, and you called us out to a holy calling. We thank you, God, for that separation. That Father God, as we yield to your spirit and as we move, hallelujah, close to you each and every day, you will help us to triumph over all the works of the flesh. So we come against the spirit of idolatry, the spirit that would want us to break away from you, Father. We come against emulations, and we come against idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance and emulations and wrath and strife and anger. Oh my God, we come against strife and selfish ambition. Oh my God, every seed that the enemy would want to plant that would keep us from the potential that you have for us, oh God. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal the truth of your word to us, oh God, that when these things try to creep in our lives, that Holy Spirit, you will convict us, oh God, that we will recognize that the works of the flesh bring death, but the walking in the Spirit will produce life, the God kind of life, and the benefits that you have for us. So God, open up our eyes of understanding and let us be enlightened according to your word. Your will, let it be done in our lives, Father. I thank you for everyone that's here, those that have gathered, Father God, that you are ministering to. And I ask you, Lord, to continue to do that. Let your perfect will be done. Father, if there's anger in us, oh God, pull it out, uproot it, oh Lord. If there's unforgiveness in any part of our lives, God, that would keep us, oh God, from the potential that you have, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would make it known, that we would forgive, that we would release all bitterness, all hatred in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you for love. We thank you for joy. We thank you, Father God, hallelujah, for peace. We thank you for your peace, your harmony in the Spirit. We thank you for long-suffering, patient endurance. We thank you for gentleness and goodness. We thank you for meekness. Oh my God, we thank you for faith that we will trust you. We will rely on you. Oh God, we will keep our confidence in you. We thank you, God, for meekness and self-control. My God, we thank you for your word today. Forgive us, Father God, if there's any sin in any kind of way, knowingly and unknowingly. We repent today, oh God, of all sin. We thank you now that the power of God is going down in our lives. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost that will break up the power ground. We thank you, Father God, that you will give us a heart of flesh, my God, to run after you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for the fire of God that will burn in us, that will burn out impurity, that will burn out lasciviousness, that will burn out lust, that will burn out everything that needs to go and burn in your imprint in our lives. That Jesus, when people see us, they will see you and they will run after you. They will desire you, Father. They will crave after you because of the God kind of life that we will walk in the name of Jesus. We come against all paganism, witchcraft. We renounce all idolatry and all rejection, self-rejection, perceived rejection in the name of Jesus. Father God, and when rejection comes, don't allow us to take it personally, because some rejection is necessary, because God, you don't want us to open up our lives to things that will not bring us good. So Father, when we're rejected, let us be like Jesus and not take it personally. In the name of Jesus, I come against all insecurity in Jesus' name, all self-pity spirits in Jesus' name, everything that would bring harm to us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that your will is being done in our lives. I pray for our young people. I pray, God, that you would cover them in the blood of Jesus. Give them discernment. Give them understanding. And Lord, let them not bow to peer pressure. Let them not bow to what others do. But God, cause our young people to be men and women, oh God, after you, that will stand for you, that will witness for you, that will love you all of their days. We thank you, God, for the seed of righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that our children will be children taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace and undisturbed composure. I thank you, God, for the generation of young people that will arise. My God, that you would give us how to pray for them, how to love them, how to instruct them in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to be the witnesses that we need to be and the examples for the next generation coming behind. In the name of the Lord, we thank you right now, oh God, that Father, all ungodly activity is bound in Jesus' name. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost that will reveal all demonic activity in our lives. And as we see it, God, we will renounce it. We will, oh God, repent. We will seek forgiveness. My God, we will pray as we've never prayed before. And we will war and we will intercede under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Father God, we take authority over every demonic root, tap root in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, for the releasing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father, for the fresh fire that will fall, that it will cause us to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, abide in the Spirit. My God, that signs, wonders, and miracles may be performed in this hour. So, Father God, I release a blessing on your people right now, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you begin to stir them up in the name of the Lord. Refresh them, O God. Refill them, O God, with the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. And Father, when we leave this place, let it be said that it was good that we have been in the house of the Lord. We thank you today for your word. We thank you that your will be done in the mighty name of Jesus. Continue to have your way, oh God, in Jesus' name. Continue to give us revelation, knowledge of your word. Let your word go forth, God, and don't let it come back void, but let it accomplish that is sent forth to do. We thank you now, and we give you praise. We give you honor, and we will give you the glory. Oh God, help us to arise, Father God, and be the men of God that you're calling us to be, the men and women of God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you now, and we praise you. We give you glory and honor for it all. Help us to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.